This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Thursday, the 8th of September 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On this Culture Thursday, I had something lined up for you. I want to start the process of grading the one year term so far of the PLP government. I decided to play that song, Say What You Like, Do What You Like, Still Got You Going My Way, because that seems to be the theme song for local politics in the country, or maybe it's a theme song for governments, right? Certainly when they get into power. Say what you like, do what you like, still got you going my way. You know, it feels you could critique the government. You could tell them, as a citizen, you could fulfill your obligation to support the function of government as a citizen, right? By sharing concerns, critiques. Some of y'all like to call them complaints, suggestions, resolutions, right? But the government just act like, if you are critiquing me, you must be a part of the opposition. And we don't really care. Especially with the present culture of supermajorities, where over the last several elections we have, I was about to say brought in governments, but really what we do is we dismiss them, right? With a sweeping vote, leaving only 5 seats. And so a government with a supermajority, you could say what you like. You could do what you like. You still got to go their way. So that's why I played that song today. I want to play some songs today. Some old songs, some new songs, some songs we'd never heard before, I think, to connect to some of the issues that we have in this country. I'm a little early. It's the 8th. We got 8 days until the 16th. I want to start the conversation before the anniversary, because you know, once the anniversary hit, we forget all wrongs. I mean, it's a Bahamian culture day, so I can't play Bob Marley song, When the Music Hits, You Feel No Pain. When that 1 year anniversary hits, they ain't gonna feel no pain. They ain't gonna hear no critique. It's party, party, party. But last week, or this week, there's an article in one of the local papers. The headline was, Minnis, PLP has done little since coming to office. And it read, ahead of the anniversary of the Davis administration's first year in office, former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis said the party has done little since its victory at the polls last September. Quote, never believe the PLP when they tell you they have a vision for the future or a new day, said Minnis, who spoke during a recent FNM event in Eleuthera. Quote, their slogan is, forward never, backward ever, close quote. First of all, on behalf of the Rastafarian community, I'm going to ask the political class to stop teething people them talks. Stop teething them and twisting them. Rastaman say forward ever, backward never. Second of all, when you thief in people's things, make sure that it don't best apply to you, sir. I don't know if the PLP deserved that designation, forward never, backward ever. I don't know, maybe it is that this particular former prime minister cannot lay that critique at the feet of this administration and past administrations, because this is obviously, this is not just, it couldn't just be about this current administration. So I know there's lots in the news. I know there's lots to talk about. I wanted to play some music and grade the PLP government before, I mean, this is my plan yesterday. I don't know. There's so much news. And as an LGBT advocate, I could understand why people would maybe want to put questions to me. Maybe not. If it's a maybe not, I'd be happy for that. Because as an advocate, I don't, and I've never worked with minors. I've not worked with young people. There's the particular provision in the law related to minors and access to medical care services and information that prevents anyone under the age of 18 access. It prevents them getting access to this type of information without a parent or a guardian's consent, right? So this is not a space that I traditionally work in. But what I will like to say is this, is let us never forget that we're still talking about children. We're talking about children, and it seems, it appears, and in this instance, we're talking about a particular child, right? Please, adults, moderate your behavior. Govern yourself when you are talking about children and minors and a child that can be identified in a public forum. Moderate your behavior and govern yourself when you're talking about children around other children. Now, I'm not saying that you can't instill what principles you believe are right in your children, but what I'm saying is that you should take care to not mete out, to not cause them to experience any more violence or trauma than they're already experiencing. These are children. These are minors. Okay? Also, at schools, we police sexual behavior. Not orientation. To some extent, I mean to a great extent, we end up moderating expressions of self, right? We, our uniforms are cut a certain way for senior students, right? So we police sexual behavior, not orientation. And if we focus on policing behavior, right? We say that no students should be engaged in any form of sexual intimacy or activity while on school campus. It does not matter whether they are straight or gay. No student across the board. Right? That's what we do. Because first and foremost, we know that humans are sexual beings. Right? We know that babies, toddlers, small children engage in the practice of masturbation, learning their bodies, discovering themselves. We know these things. We don't punish children for that. We attempt to moderate their behavior because we know they're going through a natural process in life. I'm not telling you what to think. What I'm telling you is, remember that we have a duty of care for children, for minors. Now, I could throw some shade and say, boy, look here. Is this the only time we focus on the needs of minors? Because these young people really do need our attention. They're living in communities, in schools, some in homes that are overwhelmed with rape culture. They're being groomed to be good mates or objects to men. They're being groomed for transactional sex. They're being groomed for prostitution. What about the children that go to bed every night hungry? Children that are eating half a meal a day. Children who sleep in cars next to their parents. Children who have been abandoned. What about the children in Abaco living in the wild, taking care of themselves? The vehemence with which we struck out to protect our own children, the pretense of protecting these children. But every day what we show is a disregard for children. Every day we park on the sidewalks outside the schools, blocking the pedestrian crossings, blocking their access. We drive on our cell phones with our children in our own cars. We know there's a law that says the children need to be in booster seats, child seats. Some children as old as 15 still qualify, still hit the weight and height requirements to be in them booster seats. You think anybody in the Bahamas really care about that? I'm not telling you that you have to believe in anything you don't want to believe in, except everybody has a right to a life free of violence. That's what you have to accept. That's it. That's all. You figure it out in between. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Listen, man. You know, one of the things that I think we forget all the time about this whole scenario is this. It's a private school. Mm-hmm. If you don't want your kids around something, move them somewhere else. You mm-hmm. certainly could afford it if you take your kids there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But a school has a right to determine, a private school has a right to determine the rules under which they want to govern, or any, even in your opinion, the lack of governance for their students. I grew up as, I mean, as a Seventh-day Adventist growing up, going to Bahamas Academy my whole life. You can't wear jewelry on Bahamas Academy campus. You couldn't wear makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of non-Adventists that had to come there that had to, you know, on Sunday night, take their earrings out their ears, because by Monday morning when they come to school, they can't wear earrings.
Yeah.
And their parents understood that and didn't say, well, in my house, I teach them they can wear earrings, so why they can't wear earrings on the campus? They knew that the school made certain rules or restrictions, and that's what it was. And if you as a parent are upset about this, you speak with the school. And if you don't, you're still upset and the school doesn't give you satisfaction, you have an opportunity to move your child wherever else you want to. All right?
Yes.
It's not a public school, and so you no one's forcing anybody to be there. That's the first thing. The second thing is, at the end of the day, you know, we have to get to a point in this country where we take our heads out the side and understand that there are things that are going to happen that we don't have to personally agree with.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But because we don't personally agree with them, it does not mean that we should restrict persons from making their own choices. The student has parents. These parents have made a choice that this is what they are either allowing, encouraging, fostering, whatever word you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
They have a right in their house to do that sort of thing. And they have found a school in which allows them to let their child do as they want to in their home. And that's called democracy. That's called a free world. That's called freedom of thought and freedom of choice.
Yes.
And we have to be very cognizant of the fact that I don't always have to agree with you to be agreeable with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me the vitriol I see and the absolute ignorance that is being perpetrated under the guise of the Bible and this and that and everything else. If you really believe God is God and he is all powerful, like I do, you also understand that this all-powerful being never forces us to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Or her, if you believe that. Or them, if you believe that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This all-powerful being that can make you do what they want you to do says, no, I give you the choice to do what you want. And so we have to allow the same thing for people and understand that, you know, nothing stops you from living the way you want and being the witness you think you need to be, but that does not give you a right to enforce that and drive that down anybody else's throat. And I hope that we have to understand that the Bahamas, which is made up of all cultures and all religions and some non-religions and different thoughts of philosophy and politics, that's what makes us a better place.
Absolutely.
And we'll never grow as a nation if we aren't allowing people to work through some of these things.
Yes, sir.
And to me, that's the key thing there. And hopefully, you know, people are going to be a little more, not. I wouldn't even use the word tolerant, Aaron. I think tolerance a bad way to describe it.
Yeah.
I think people need to just be more human.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you. Raised some excellent points, and it evoked this in me that I'm not beating up parents. I'm not beating up the parents that have called and shared their concerns, because parents are, the actions, their responses are rooted in a fear that they are releasing their children into a world that they, the parents, cannot control, right? And they cannot protect their children from. When you get into that space, right, you got to be fair with people who have children. When they get into that space, most often these responses are driven by a great fear. And that fear is driven, I think, by a misunderstanding of human nature. First of all, we have this belief that people make us do things. And we say it all the time. She make me hit her, officer. She make me so mad I had to, or the woman, he made me so mad I had to bleach up all his clothes. None of that makes any sense. And nobody could make you do something. But our culture in particular, I'm not saying it's exclusive to the Bahamas, it's only us, but we entrenched in that belief and the behavior that arises from that, that people make us do things. And in that space is a very big fear by people, adults, that people make us gay. I've had women who, from a distance, thought I was a man, flirt with me. And then when they get closer and realize that I am not a man, they are very upset, right? Like, I've had some situation. Now, it's not that I was pretending to be a man. I wasn't wearing a mustache, right? I wasn't wearing a mustache. I didn't have a beard, signifier of man, right? I just wasn't wearing the things that women typically wear, like makeup and jewelry and blouses with frills, right? Because the way that we construct gender, we assume everybody is a man until we get the evidence that they're not a man. When we see the earrings, we see the curve of the hips, whatever. But I'm saying we got to be easy with parents also, because for many of them, this is a fear that things will happen to their children that the parents can't control and children aren't prepared for. And people have that fear because they fear it could happen to them. And if they fear it could happen to them as big grown adults, then you know they fear it could happen to their children. Anyway, I got 3 calls on the board, so I can pause right now. And we're going to go to one of those calls, and then we're going to go to the text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. That last caller you had, there's a part in the Bible that he's saying he's a Bible believer and all that type of stuff. There's a part that says that as you train a child of a year to grow, when he gets old enough, he would depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
The basis and the base of training a child, that beginning, mm-hmm. not all of us had it, okay? The liberalism that we've got right now, that's because we allow things to happen, like he said, to to let the children not do as they please, but allow them to go. Well, how could you allow them to go and you didn't teach them the way of the word? He spoke about the word, but then train them in the basis of the, for example, Boys Brigade, the youth program, okay, urban renewal. You see, if they're given those basics, then a bad boy in the street or a drug dealer or somebody else that is deterred from family life, it'll be very difficult for them to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I call to say is just here to give a profound training and to insist on the discipline so that when they get older, you know, they would go back to the belief of Christian principles, and our country is growing. Okay, we cannot expect an apple tree from a mango tree. You know, the discipline must be there. Thanks for letting me share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. The formative years, what young people are exposed to, right? But it's not, see, when you say discipline, let's expand that. The things that, like when we...
If you'd like to make a call...
When we look at adults, then we look back and we say, oh, they were trained. Well, they got that discipline. Sometimes it's more than that, right? It's more than you sit down and you read this, or it's more than you bend the child, right? It's more than that. It's about a collective of experiences that young people have in their homes, their communities, their schools, in the presence of multiple generations, right? That young people use to learn how to moderate their behavior and how to govern themselves, right? So I feel you. I agree with you at that foundational level. I did an interview with Controversy TV. It would have been several years after the infamous Samuel Green speech at the 2003 Independence Celebration. Controversy TV was the host, Lincoln Bain and Utah Taylor. And they sat us down, Bishop Samuel Green and myself. And the first thing Bishop Green did was he apologized to the community. He said, I wasn't talking to the gay community. I was really talking to politicians. And I apologize if I instill fear in the community. When the host asked him, what would you do if your son said that you were gay, that they were gay, right? He said, well, the first thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to throw them out of my house. I'm not going to abandon them. Especially if I think they are, quote, in a time of need. He said, I can pull them closer. And I can sit with them and I can tell them, son, this Bible, this is the book that I use to govern my life. And I know you're making your own decisions, but I want to know that this is a tool that you could use and that I use, and I think you should use. He said, but I can never abandon my child. Right? And so I just want to sort of throw these things in here because it's important to understand why parents respond the way that they do sometimes. Right? Producer, let's take these two calls because I come here to play music. I want to play some music, right? But we can take these calls. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning to all.
Good morning. How you do?
All right. You know, my question to the last caller is that, what is the way to go? Or do we train our child to be capitalist or socialist?
I got you. Now,
you know, and then you know, we seem to want to deal with only some forms of discrimination.
Yeah.
And not all.
I got you.
Know, and so does a gay lesbian or gay transgender individual, however, should be able to adopt a child.
Oh boy, look here. Listen.
Or even have a child.
Hold on. Look here. I can cut you now. We're gonna drive people crazy. Let's be easy, producer. I got
right
you.
Right now, we are beamings who calling queen. In the UK, they queen.
Yeah, because she's the queen of the Bahamas.
When a professional person who loves to talk about working hard says that the queen work hard.
No, man. Listen, I got to cut you now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. First of all, you see that point about socialism and capitalism, right? I mean, sometimes they're broader than just money systems or political systems. That's how people live, right? It extends beyond. So I like that question. Caller, you're on the clock.
Golly, this dark in a way, along with you, Aaron, pretty eyes.
Look here, Brayman, you've been on vacation or you've been in the Fountain of Youth, because your voice sounds different.
Well, let me say something, right, before I make my main point. I want you to know, and everybody else, that I love you the way you are.
Thank you.
In spite of whatsoever you are, that's the way I love you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But what I want to say, right, I want to correct something which I said yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the guy was speaking about the police sergeant was superintendent and not inspector. Superintendent Dave Lockhart.
Okay.
That's his name. That's what he's supposed to be checking in. The other point is, right?
Uh-huh.
You talked about using people's words. Now, several years ago, I invented some words, right? And I heard couple of them being used on two different radio stations.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, right, I am going to
copyright it.
Record, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Except if it's me, because I can't afford to pay you. I could be honest.
Yeah.
Dog, eat your lunch.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyhow, thank you,
Brayman. No, man, thank you very much, Brayman. Thank you. Okay, caller, you're on the clock.
Morning. Morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you do?
In their exuberance to sound intelligent, right? Sometimes they really make themselves sound fool.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon that to your first caller.
I got you.
Understand me? Because yes, it's a private school. Yes, we have private entities in this country. But as long as you go to the Bahamas government for your business license, there are certain parameters and criteria that governs you. You understand? Second of all, according to the constitutions of this country, children are not able to consent to anything at 16 and 18, depending on what you choose. Third of all, the school erred because they wasn't supposed to do that. That is not Bahamian law. They ain't got no law here with, say, 3 and 4 bathrooms in no school. That's not Bahamian law. And second and last of all, unless that child, the parents erred. Unless that child was 18 years old, that the parents don't have a right in a situation like that, which requires forensics and all of that stuff to make that kind of decision for that child. Suppose that child at 15 now say, "Mommy, Daddy, I old enough. I want to be boy or I want to be good." Then what they could do?
Okay.
They don't have that right.
Thank you.
They're supposed to govern that. I go right now. They're supposed to govern that child. Okay, the schools have rules. For right now, we can do what you want to do in our house, but you got to go to school in a pants or you got to go to school in a dress, depending on which one the doctors say you are. They all of them errant. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. So when you talk about forensics, okay, and age of consent, I think what you're touching on is children who transition, who have they call gender affirming surgery. People who are not familiar with the space. People who are not familiar with the space call it sex change or sex reassignment. In the space for adults, they call it gender affirming surgery, right? I don't think we're talking about that here at all, okay? I don't think it's a matter of a parent that began the process of gender reassignment or gender affirmation, right? That's not what's happening. I think we're simply talking about expression, right? Like you say, when you said, tell the child, you were assigned female at birth, we brought you into the world as a girl, whatever you want to call it, and you say to the child, listen, you can wear clothes like that and express yourself like that in the home, in a more private space. This is about expression. I don't think we're talking about surgery or even medical care, right, for minors. I do not think that's what we're talking about. But again, you understand why people who have children would be scared. why they would be in fear. First of all, it's very new space. It's certainly a new space for a vast majority of people. And for people who are still, for grown adults who are still not quite certain how sexuality works or how they became straight, then they don't know how to teach that to their children. And if the world outside keeps changing and it keeps changing everything they know, then they're concerned that they're not equipped to prepare their children for the world. I'm not making a judgment on what they think or how they think. I'm just saying let's practice some empathy on both sides. Now, caller, I can take this call, and then I got to play some music, I got to go to a break, and I got to read these texts. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm noticing that certain media people are really afraid to entertain people like me and Gardner, right?
Yeah.
So he said something on Dwight Show this morning, but this is something that's very clear. There's a selective human rights discussions on agendas being pushed forward, but I don't have time to discuss foolishness, right? But what I wanted to talk about, you started to touch on the socialism, communism.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to wake up the sheep on the plantation here. I don't know if you remember Khrushchev.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you remember the speech he made about 62 years ago or 60 years ago? I wasn't even born yet, right? But, you know, of course, I fall in global agendas. And everything what I've been saying about the global agendas is quite clear. When you read Brave New World and Aldous Huxley, and Eric Blair's 1984, right, you will see where the world is headed. You know where it's headed. If you're familiar with Bertrand Russell. So the West is moving towards communism of BC and the scientific dictatorship. Now, what they want to do is, like I said, I told Nahaja and Dazem back in the days that this will be done incrementally. So what they do is they feed in you small doses of socialism until when you wake up, you'll have communism. So Khrushchev is right in his statement because the West will move towards communism. But they,
mm-hmm.
And so they say healthcare, poverty, debt, right? You increase debt, gun control, welfare, media, and religion. And so we see that they're using these narratives. You know, they've already gotten rid of the middle class. And let's remember that during the pandemic or scamdemic, these people have to realize that the money went from our hands to their hands. This is why people like Bezos, them. See, the tax system is set up.
Double, triple,
yeah, but the tax system is set up where the rich people can hire lawyers and teams of IRS specialists and evade taxes. It's not illegal. It's just that they have the information to do it. But us who are at the bottom, we remain to fight against one another and remain bookless and mindless. All right? I'm sick of humanity. We are all ignorant and we are wallowing and we're not getting anywhere.
But
who's pushing these global agendas, Aaron?
Okay, I got you. 52, are you on the same conversation?
Yes.
But you got to stop.
Truth will be revealed. This is revelation time now, man.
You
want to see boy come on the radio and tell Empress what time it is?
Yeah, man, I got you, 52. But look here, that is a fatalistic approach. Can't be hating humanity. In fact, producer, we can play one of these songs, man. 52, I love you, man. I love you. No, don't watch nothing. I don't know. Play Ronnie Butler, Nobody Want Dead, or play Lassie Doughboys, Rake and Scrape Mama. Because, producer, I doubt the country understands that Lassie Doughboys, Rake and Scrape Mama is a song about the housing crisis in the Bahamas. And how, if these boys, them, could afford they own house or apartment, then it wouldn't be a matter mama don't want no raking and scraping in there. In fact, mama would be coming to your house to catch up on some raking in and scraping in. Right? Because it's not that mama don't like raking in and scraping in. It's just that she can't bend to her cradle and raking in and scraping in with her children in the same house. Right? Lastly, though, boys, I want to thank you for this thesis on the housing crisis in the Bahamas. Caller, please hold the line. Text us. I come into your text in a minute. We got to go to a break. Enjoy this song. Again, a thesis on the housing crisis in the Bahamas.
Stand around like he's at the mall. A regular scraping on bebop after four. Walk on the walls day after night. Say, fellas, call me God of style. Not knowing what mama had in mind. Mama don't want no rigging and scraping in here. Mama don't want no rigging and scraping in here. We don't care what mama don't like, no rigging and scraping anyhow. Mama don't like no rigging and scraping in here. Now mama walk around the block, we thinking she's on the bus stop. Listening hard from the neighbor's yard. Just as we start to hit a lip, see bus inside, didn't think you sick. One back and stop across my lip. Oh, mama's
say, boys, I ain't gonna lie, if I'm a fire, you never sung in tight. Let me show you a dance from way back in the days. Then mama started killing the roast beef, the fellas thought she was freaking out. Pick that rhythm, lucky dough, boys.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test, always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's a backup generator, something on the side. Fit right in your pocket, something you can hide. When your mind them joking, tell them see you later. That's when you pull out your backup generator. We all need one. You know, BC backup sometime. Girlfriend out there, tell me what you think. Should you let a man drive you to drink? He stay out all night, come home all night.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Like I told you all before we got into the discussion, what I wanted to do today was begin the discussion on the grading of the PLP administration as they approach the anniversary of their first year. So that song, Backup Generator by Spice, is a thesis on PPL and the energy crisis in the country. I'm telling you, when you delve into some of our music, like everything you need to know is right there. Every discussion we need to have, we already have in it, right? Because the cultural artisans see everything. Now, I know y'all gonna say, man, Aaron, that ain't what that song about, you know. That is not what that song is about. But I argue to you that that is exactly what that song is about, because my whole life, the thing that I dreamed for is a backup generator. I mean, a generator and a backup generator, because the way these things go. In fact, I need a whole backup BPL. I need a whole backup BPL. That's what I need. Ah, boy. Spice, backup generator. Okay, I had some other songs and questions. You know, we wanted to talk about Taxi Plate Gate. Even had a song for that, Taxi Driver by Ronnie Butler. But then I even had some more pressing and intriguing questions. I got a question for Basil Lightborn, the singer, musician. What is the song Old Liza about? I mean, I know I'm a little old, you know, but I'm not old enough to know what the song Old Liza is about. And why you laugh like that in the song, Basil? Why you, from you laugh like that in the song, I realize I'm too young to listen to this song. Then I found this new song by Ronnie Butler called, but when I say new, I mean a song that I had never heard before, called Tick, Tick, Tick. I just want to say Ronnie Butler. I can't even play the song on the radio. Anyway, if I'm lucky enough, I'm going to have a word with Ronnie, not in the near future. In the future. Also, what I wanted to play, the song of the day I wanted to play was ACR by Lucy and E featuring DJ Zonas. That's I think that's Annual Confidential Report. But when I went to YouTube to go find the link, you all make the video private. And I forget to bootleg the song before you make the video private. So I was very, very hurt. I wanted to play that song today. I got a couple more. I mean, I got 3 minutes to play a song before we end the show, but I got to go to these texts and then call. I'm coming to you. First text said, who created the straight man and who influenced the gender confusion? Another text, great show as usual, Ms. Green. Why do they have transsexual bathroom in a school in Nassau? And please tell them, keep the idea of doing that in the confines of Albany. No, it's not a transsexual bathroom. That's not how it works. It's just a bathroom and anybody could use it. That's all. It's typically supposed to be a single stall bathroom. Walk in the door, it's one stall. Anybody of any gender can use it. That's what they're talking about. Another text. These has been politicians just like old centipedes, just when you sure they're dead and gone, they raise their heads and start kicking up again. We batted Minnis, but we didn't drop him in hot fat. Might be a Hubert Alexander treat. Well, first of all, we need a moratorium on whoever, nursery, whoever growing Hubert Alexanders, y'all need to stop. We put in a moratorium on, the same way we put in a moratorium on Ferguson's in the Union. No more Ferguson's in the Union. And no more Hubert Alexanders. And I mean, I can't stop you from growing a Hubert Alexander, but no more in politics, please. And that is not an indictment on my former MP, Hubert Alexander Chipman. No indictment on him. The rest of y'all Hubert Alexanders, I don't know. All right, another text. Good morning, Aaron. My only question is, what is our moral threshold? How much are we willing to accept? I was waiting for somebody to ask me this, you know, because y'all don't seem to be upset at the fact that it is known that girls are being prostituted by their mothers regularly, frequently. Not the vast majority of mothers, not the vast majority of girls, but just one child experiencing that is enough for us to burn down the plantation. But we don't seem to be concerned about that. Let's talk about where we're going to draw this moral threshold, right? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the stats. I like, glad I have my folder, but I'm so out of time. I can't go through it. Go to the papers. Guardian, police report, startling sex crime numbers, right? Then look up the Tribune report. I can't get into my files for that. Let's talk about the threshold. Let's talk about the countless men who are perpetually traumatized and leak this trauma out in their future relationships because they spend their whole life trying to figure out how to become a man fast enough to provide for their mother and sisters, because the man them that come into the house pretending to provide are only providing sexual services. They are raping the children in the house, demanding sex from the mother. Where are we going to draw the threshold? Where are we going to hold the line? The expression of minors, if done in a safe space where our focus is on keeping children safe, then a boy who identifies as a girl and wants to wear girls' clothing will be no different than the boy in a school that wears a kilt. Because at that age, we show them clearly why we police their sexual behavior and why we attempt to moderate their sexual expression. Right? But let me tell you, the victims of sexual abuse in this country, those that suffered abuse as children for years from family members, or worse, from, and I mean, and as bad, from teachers and administrators, they really looking at you like, this is where you're going to draw the threshold? Children that don't eat at night, sleep in cars at night, live in the bush their whole life, are asking you, is this where you're going to draw the threshold? I'm not saying don't be concerned about this. I'm saying, are we really prioritizing children? Are we prioritizing our own feelings of lack of control and loss of power. That's all. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Aaron Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Well, like you showed it yesterday, I truly enjoy yesterday. First time caller, that's interesting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I enjoy that. But let me just say quick 2 points here. When you enter a child into a school, know the policy of the school. Know the policy, what the school allows, what the school not allowed. And next week you don't know, I was hoping you do a report on the Bray Davis government today, but you won't have time because you're next week.
Yeah, I can get into that next week.
Yeah, set a day aside, though.
Yeah. I mean, I got set 2 or 3 days aside.
Yeah, you got set a week, man.
Yeah.
There's so many great things they have done.
I mean,
take a week. But before I go, I hear the former deputy prime minister. I don't know what he's talking in Lucho, but he's talking to the bush. He wasn't talking to the people. But when it comes to comparison, PRP all the way, man. Call me Pumpkin Eater. Have a good day.
Good day, Pumpkin Eater. Okay. Last caller. Good morning, caller. Let's see if I get enough time to get to you. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, Aaron, what's up, man?
Everything's good, dude.
I called in late. I hope all is well.
Yeah, man.
You know, Aaron, when I listen to this subject with a little chop, right? I mean, personally, Aaron, why force, okay? All right, private school or not. And listen to me. The people who own those two schools, I got to talk to the mister today because I don't think he down with those kind of things. But life is life. We ain't getting into that. But what I'm trying to ask people in this country, why force that type of dress code because of that person's permissive lifestyle on the rest of those children? Mind me, I don't have no problem with people who live those type of lifestyles, you know, some of my good friends. But Ms. Green, you have to understand something. The prisons in this country, for you to allow a child, you know, not adult who can give consent for himself to walk out your house knowing that you bring this child in the world, and when you bring this child in the world, you bring him in the world as a boy. But after all of a sudden, the acceptance as you being a parent, he can wear a skirt. Something wrong there, sis. Something wrong there, man.
I feel you do it. I got to go. I feel
all
you.
Right, something wrong.
I got you. I register that. I register your in fact, you make me forget what I was about to say, DeWitt, man. But, I mean, you know, like I say, parents, we got to be easy with parents because they have a responsibility to raise these children to be able to take care of themselves, right? So we can be easy, sort of easy on parents. But, DeWitt, you took that thing right out of my head. Here's what I want to say. One of the premises of my 2016 gender equality referendum campaign was that we're making a decision without engaging all of the scientific material that's out there. So I want to let people know that there's data that shows that the Bahamas has a higher incidence or potential incidence for intersex births. It's a 1990 World Health Organization report. We have to talk about that on another show. Listen, caller, I did tell the producer no more callers, but you on the line, so I can give you 30 seconds. You're on the clock.
Aaron Green.
Good morning.
Yes, I called you, put you on blast now. Listen.
Yeah, man.
I hear you going off in your tantrum, you and one or two of the callers, about, what about the child who this and what about that? What about moral rape and the beating and all that stuff? See, what you got to understand about the rule of law. That's why that judge did what she did last week to that woman. Each case must, you can't put down arbitrary rules. Each case must be handled on its own merit.
I got you.
Yes, we have a myriad of problems, but today it is that situation in the school.
I got you.
That is what is before
but
the judge.
Remember, I wasn't, what I was responding to is this demand that we draw a line, a threshold. And what I was saying is we should have drawn the line long time. This ain't the issue. You know you got big grown. Hold on, you know you got big grown men them out there trolling schools right next to the police station. You know
that's
how bold
that's
you
a different
got
matter.
No, it's not a different matter.
That is a different matter.
No, it's not a different matter.
That's what
matter.
I'm telling you.
I say it's not.
You can't go to the judge. You can't go in front of the judge and say, "Judge, we got this school situation here."
No, no, I didn't say. Hold on.
Red light around the corner.
Sir, I gotta cut you. I didn't say.
Yeah, okay.
I know. I didn't say that we shouldn't talk about this until we address that. That's not what I said. I didn't say that at all. What I said was that if we're going to bring in this perspective that we have to draw the line somewhere, what I'm telling you is if you knew where the line should have been drawn a long time, all of us know.
If you'd like to make a call, please.
Let's not play with it. Let's not play with it at all. Okay, producer, I wanted to play Sailor Man's song because as a tribute to all the people who have died on the waters over the last few months. But I wanted to play T-Rez Hepburn, You Gonna Talk It, because we ain't really talk about the political appointees and how they get chastised for talking it, right? But I think we should end the show with whatever you play. You play it. You play it. This has been a hard one. I want to thank you for sitting with it. It's uncomfortable. Some points it's enraging. But this is what we owe each other. To sit through these uncomfortable conversations. Because the most important thing is that we all have a right to a life free of violence. Dear Texas, I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of your texts. Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is in the next room looking at me with their beautiful faces, so I gotta go. I can't run on. Have a great day, Bahamas. Thank you for tuning in. On the Clock with Erin Green. I just want you to keep it to yourself. Now if you don't tell no one, I just might give you. You're the only